Rebecca, there you are. Here I am in my Pento suite, it seems. Now, right, we've done this before. We've looked at introversion before. We've got a couple of slides we're going to use. Hey, people, if you're here, you're going to get some input. Introversion, the use, the neglect, the underutilization, I feel at least, the criminal underutilization of a highly skilled, competent bunch of people. I'm an extrovert, and I know I have far less value to an organization than I ever believed I did because I know better understand introverts. And I know that introverts, for instance, in my humble opinion, make better leaders at all levels and have skills that extroverts will never possess in their life. So I'm going to slate extroverts, of which I'm one. And what are you going to do in this, Rebecca?
I love your enthusiasm for this and your willingness to slate extroverts. I suppose I'm probably more at the other end of the spectrum and more probably introverted. So it's interesting to see how you're selling or not selling introverts and extroverts. And it is really fascinating. And I do agree with you. I think introverts are not tapped into as much as they certainly could be. And therefore, we're missing out on a lot of ideas, knowledge, experience. And that's a real shame.
One of the deep abiding ironies of this is that as an extrovert, I'm perhaps a better advocate of introverts than you are.
And it's interesting because when we get to some of the information that we're sharing later, I think that's probably why as well. It
Introverts
might make a little bit more sense later on, yeah.
will not shout about how good they are. They depend upon extroverts, I'm generalizing horribly. They depend on the very occasional, rarely seen extroverts like me to say, hey, they're a lot better than I am. They've got a hell of a lot of skills that I'll never possess. Why the hell don't we listen to them, use them more effectively? Use is a bit of a strong word, but recognize skills. Anyway, let's give a definition because I like definitions. Let's see if I can show my inadequate skills of there I already have, I think. Let's see if I can show my inadequate skills of use of share screen and come up with a definition of what we're talking about. Full screen, here we go. Do, do, do. Are you seeing that in full screen, Rebecca?
Not quite.
Oh dear, there we go. I know you should be.
Yep, that's it.
Right. I'm trying to be as much of an introvert as I can. I'm going to sit back and let you talk us through this one, if you would, please. But here I'm directing you, so.
But this is an interesting definition. A person who enjoys solitary activities and calm environments, preferring to interact with individuals or small groups. And I suppose in some respects, as a bit of an introvert myself, I would agree with that on the whole. And it's interesting because you mentioned when you're looking into this that some of them say shy, and I do disagree with that because
I do too.
just because you're introvert doesn't necessarily mean you're shy. I wouldn't say that I'm shy. I might be in some situations, but generally I wouldn't describe myself as shy, but it is different. So I don't necessarily agree with all of this definition, but I think it's a pretty good starting point.
I searched for a number of definitions that I liked more than others. This one, like you say, to me isn't perfect. But the word shy appears disappointingly in some pretty high-profile definitions and sources. It's like saying an extrovert is brash. It's a judgmental word. By the way, a lot of extroverts are brash and probably feel that's a quality of great positivity. I mean, a person who enjoys solitary activities doesn't say they spend all their time doing that. And calm environments, we had a bit of discussion on this in our near rehearsal. We got into some depth before this, didn't we? I think the reference to calm environments, again, is a contrast to extroverts who seem to prefer turbulent, excitable environments. Calm environments are more productive. Hello, organizations, are you listening? Do you want people shouting at each other and getting nowhere in solutions? Or do you want calm, workman-like, purposeful environments? Well, that's what introverts enjoy best. Why on earth aren't you making more of them? With individuals or small groups, there's a thought. Individuals or small groups, in an hour, two people, introverts will achieve more than 12 people in 3 hours shouting at each other. Organizations, are you listening? Are you wasting hours and hours and hours in meetings of extroverts shouting at each other with no outcome instead of running shorter, more productive meetings with introverts? What is going on here?
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? And I think I have heard it also explained in it in a slightly different way, in that introverts need that solitary activities and calm environments to recharge their batteries.
Recharge.
Yeah, where extroverts need to have be around people and high energy things to recharge their batteries, and that made complete sense to me. So I think it is interesting that we're not tapping into and we're not providing the right environments for people. I think that's possibly a key thing here as well.
Yeah, I'm going to be quite contentious here. I tend to be sometimes. At a time when we're concerned about well-being, mindfulness, EDI, all this good stuff that says we're inclusive, we're equal. No, we aren't, because we're neglecting the talents of between 20 and 35% of a typical organization. It's discriminatory. I'm prepared to say that. Work practices discriminate against introverted people in as much that they're overlooked for promotion. You only got to look at who's in the senior positions and say by personality, what are they? They're dominated by extroverted people in most cases. Some organizations, workplaces, and types of work will define differently. But most organizations and most leadership positions default to noisy, loud, interrupting, ego-driven people rather than productive, calm ones.
I think workplaces don't nurture introverts as much as they could do, and I
You're
think
the
we're
grown up
missing
in the room today, aren't you? You're the grown up, and I'm sounding off.
showing our true colors, I suppose.
On, let's get onto this one because we have got some content to go through. Because it's one thing for me to say, hey, introverts are great people with talent that is not recognized. I've tried to distill some of that down. There's so much more we could say in this. I could say, and you could bloody think and analyze and do all the introvert stuff. The weird thing about being an extrovert is I know all the things introverts do, but I can't do them.
Yeah, interesting.
Okay, one of the things they do is this. Go on then, lead me on this, because if I just hear myself speak, I'm getting nothing out of this.
Yeah. They tend to make better active listeners because they don't necessarily feel the need to, always have the floor or make their point and things. So I think sometimes active listeners are introverts because they can have that ability to sit back and listen properly and process things internally, which is later on the list, isn't it? I think
Yeah, it
actually.
is. An extrovert will, by observation, very often not be speaking. You can see them fidgeting, waiting to for the nanosecond of what they perceive to be the end of a conversation, which they typically misjudge, to then say what they've been thinking about and therefore not listening around for the last what seems interminable time, but it's probably about 18 seconds.
Yeah, definitely.
Why am I talking? Wait. Is something that we should ask ourselves more often. We're going to explore this more in our free networking event on October the 15th at 4 o'clock for anyone who wants in on that. We're already getting good numbers for it. So next on this list of nine typical extrovert, he can't come up with a short list. He has to sort of fill it with stuff. Again, lead me on this because your ideas are always more deep and reflective than my own.
I really like this when you put this one on, because it is true. I think introverts don't feel the need to gossip as much. And again, that's a very sort of maybe controversial word, I suppose. But if you find something out, extroverts love to share a bit of gossip around and did you find this out and did you hear about? Yeah. Where introverts, they probably are a little bit like, okay, they'll take it on board, but remain confidential and reliable and trustworthy, because I see introverts as a little bit more stable, and I think this is where that comes in. That reliability and trustworthiness is because they're generally more stable.
More composed, more relaxed, more trustworthy, can keep a confidence, can keep secrets. You're right. I've been that person that says, hey, come over here, boys. Guess what? I've just been told. I shouldn't be telling you this, but I can't, introverts
Go and
don't
help
have those
yourself.
things. Oh, dear. This is so deep. I love it.
Yeah, and again, I think because of introverts, they generally are more self-aware because they have I think probably it's slightly more ability to be introspective and sort of know themselves a little bit more, and probably just, yeah, that sort of self-awareness. They know they don't need to demonstrate, or they don't need to verbalize everything that they're good at. They've got almost a self-belief possibly comes into this as well. You know, they've got a better knowing and don't feel the need to tell everybody that they're brilliant at this, or they've just done that, or they've won this award, or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other side of the coin is extroverts are none of these things. Now, I'm not saying extroverts don't have strengths. Extroverts have energy, they have enthusiasm, they have, no, that's about it. Whereas introverts have got a whole massive bag full of stuff. And I just see such value in this. It's just not being, we talk about talent management in organizations. That's all it is. Talent management for me partly means, right, for the first time ever, we in this organization are going to look for, find, and use the talents of introspective, invisible people. Now, I'd love to see that happen. I've never in 42 years seen anything like that. So let's move on, because we've got 9 points to get through and so little time. Those are two words that hit lots of buttons. We all talk about emotional intelligence. Well, I think introverts are far more likely to possess this than extroverts.
And you know, and I think maybe that's because of that willingness to take time to think things through before just sort of blurting something out or whatever. And I think perhaps that delay in processing helps you to think about, right, what if this, how is this going to land on somebody else? How is this going to affect that situation? So perhaps there's just a little bit more thought given, and that allows that emotional intelligence. And it links with the self-awareness, I think, as well. When you're more self-aware, yep, I think perhaps you've got that better ability to be emotionally intelligent.
Well, we both like Nancy Klein's work, the thinking environment stuff. The quality of everything we do depends on the thinking we do first. Extroverts rarely think before speaking at all. So where's the quality of thinking there? Introverts spend a lot of time thinking more deeply, thinking more intelligently, and just getting better ideas and solutions. I can't find fault in introverts. I just can't find fault in introverts, other than the fact that they keep their talents hidden, don't make enough of them.
We don't make a song and dance about them.
Oh, time you did. Okay, what we've got here?
Yeah, that we've already sort of touched on this a little bit about that processing internally. I think introverts often like to sit back, observe what's going on, and process that internally and reflect on it. You know,
which takes more time, Rebecca, doesn't it?
It does take more time.
In a meeting, that's happening when things have moved on. And extroverts run meetings, run them for themselves. That you don't get a chair or anyone else say, hold on a minute, we've moved on from where we were. I'd like to ask Rebecca what you were thinking about this 8 minutes ago, because before we move on, we might lose what. I've never seen that happen.
Yeah, and I think you're right on that, is because it does take more time to process things. And unless you're given the opportunity to share that, like you say, it's moved on, there's a different topic, and then you're having to think again about something else, and you're missing out on some of that, those ideas and those thoughts that could be quite powerful.
So what we need are introverts who chair meetings.
Yeah. Or just recognizing that there needs to be space to process things and space to gather ideas as well. I think meetings, you're right, I don't think meetings, most of you sort of general meetings that you have are not set up to tap into introverts, because it also, you often get a large group of people in a meeting. Yep. Things are, you know, and introverts don't like speaking out in front of a group.
Nope.
I've got colleagues who've introverted, and I know there's a huge range of talent in our team.
Yep.
But it's not always tapped into, because it's a large group. There's only certain people who have the confidence to speak out.
Yeah, the confidence without thinking. They got confidence to sound off and make noise, but that's all it is. It's worthless noise. Extroverts kid themselves that what they're saying is articulate, thought through, and wonderfully erudite. And it's not a glue, by the way. Whereas in actual fact, introverts are saying, but you hadn't thought of this, you hadn't thought of that, and this won't work but I'm going to say nothing because you're going to shout at me. I can't be bothered with this. I wonder what meetings of introverts would be like. I wonder if we had two parallel meetings instead of one, if we had the extroverts in a room shouting at each other for 3 hours and getting nowhere, thank you very much, off you go, keep out the way of the productive people. And then you had a lesser number of introverted people who got things done and had gone back to work and could hear the noise at the end of the corridor of the extroverts shouting at each other.
Yeah, but I think they can work together. I am going to sort of step in there, but it needs to be thought through, and it needs to be a bit more structured. And I think this is the problem. Like you said, with that calm environment, it is purposeful, and often meetings don't. You know, how many meetings have you been in that you've come out of an hour later and thought, well, what was the point of that again?
Well, 3 hours later.
Yeah.
I mean, when I did a lot of work for, I won't mention the name, NPower, no longer exists, big surprise. They used to have meeting rooms with people overflowing into the corridors. Madness, never got any, and all you hear when people come out of the world, what a waste time that was. I really like the idea, you know, of introverts leaving a room, locking it up and walking down the corridor, having got the business done, and 2 hours later walking back up and the extroverts are still shouting about the same issues. Go on, I've got to run through this, I'm being extroverted and taking too long. Got a few other issues. I'm going to read this one out because it's good fun. Appetite for deeper, detailed, challenging interactions. When we talked through this before, that isn't about challenging interactions such as I can shout louder than you and argue with you and interrupt you more often. It's about how deeply can we get into this, fully understand it, and come up with a workable solution, which extroverts got no appetite for at all.
No, and it's not about winning an argument. It's about having a stimulating conversation that looks at things from different points of view. And you can still do that as an introvert. You can still have opposing points of view, but discuss it in a productive way, rather than sort of having to sort of argue the point to win.
Right, I'm going to run through these quick because we're, unsurprisingly, it's taking time because it needs it. More informed actions resulting from high quality thinking. That's kind of wrapping up what we've been talking about. High quality thinking requires thought. Meetings in which there's silence have value. Meetings in which the noise, interruptions, ego-driven, status-driven noise without value is not quality thinking.
No. And that's where the internal processing that allows for the high quality thinking.
And the final thing on my list of nine, I think, is introverts are imaginative, they're curious, they're creative. This doesn't describe a lot of extroverts who may well be, but not to the degree typically, not to the depth of curiosity, of creativity. Extroverts have talents, they have energy, they have enthusiasm. That's not enough. What we want is ambiverts. That's what Carl Jung was talking about, these wonderful people who are both.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good thing, is knowing when to tap into which part of yourself, you know, and which one will be most helpful in certain situations. And I think that's why, you know, I think having a room full of introverts would be very productive, but perhaps you need an extrovert to get them going in the first place.
Would one extrovert be too many? I'm so anti-extroverts these days, but I find it hard to see value in us at all.
Yeah.
Would one extrovert feel like the shepherd in the room that somehow got to herd these quiet people about and still be in control? I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't see them as herding. I see them as maybe creating some vision to get the energy to ignite the conversations. I think that's possibly a way to do it.
Your supportive, encouraging thoughts around extroverts are welcome, and contrast with my own perceived total inferiority, which is deeply and authentically held. I'm not stating it for the sake of it. I actually believe this stuff. I think I've gone through 42 years of disrespecting and denigrating a whole bunch of people who have talents I'll never possess. Now, you know, we could go on and on and on, and I tend to. But there are ways to make this better. Operationally, you can run meetings where the chair of the meeting will grab the introverts in advance, maybe a day, 2 days in advance, and say, look, I think you're going to be quiet in this meeting, and I think you think about things that I'd like to hear in the meeting, but I understand that isn't necessarily where you feel comfortable. So tell me now what your thoughts are about these things one-to-one. I don't think that ever happens, for instance.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think certain things could be put in place to give introverts more time and space to reflect on things and to get their input, you know. And I think perhaps the setup of a meeting isn't necessarily
It's adversarial,
helpful.
isn't it, very often in some ways, and meetings are so badly run. If only they were better run. If only a
Yes.
chair of a meeting said, hang on a minute, frankly, shut up. All we've heard from you is noise. Some of that noise has been helpful. A lot of it, frankly, is not. I'd like to know what so-and-so is. But you don't just, I mean, I used to work with an Australian guy who used to do double-handed training events long ago. And he used to say to people, after 2 days of working with a group, you say, well, I haven't heard from you for a day and a half now. What do you think about this? And I thought, whoa, I didn't know why at that point. I was young, I was about 24, 25. And I thought, whoa, that made that person feel uncomfortable. Now I'm thinking, that person is getting a lot from being quiet, mate. Leave her alone.
But I think you're right in terms of the way we run meetings or training events could definitely be improved and be much more helpful and productive.
Yeah, as could a lot of managerial practices. This isn't confined purely to the structured things like meetings and training and stuff. Okay, let's round it off because, you know, we have much more to say about this and we'll get a chance for an hour in the company of others. I'll try and keep as quiet as I can. I'll give you the mute button to use on me. And as a round off, you know, I often do this. What's the big takeaway for you from this? What have you either thought of for the first time or thinking of more deeply as a result?
I think the more we discuss this, the more I realise the power of the thinking environment type stuff, because I think running meetings or organisations with a thinking environment structure or concept would help to manage some of those challenges, actually. I think the thinking environment gives space to everybody, and I think that would mitigate some of the challenges that we face. So I think that's really stood out for me a little bit more today, going through some of those points.
Okay, I'm not going to give mine because I've been sounding off throughout. As ever, for my own personal value from these what we call learning conversations, thank you. And I think we've generated, hopefully, some thoughts for people out there. So that's all for now, folks.